Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Questions for Mormon President Thomas S. Monson. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We've been doing this short series, what we're calling our fantasy interview with the president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Thomas S. Monson. We've kind of played it up as we got an invitation asking us to come and have an interview with the president of the church, Mr. Monson. We are allowed to ask any question that we would like to ask him. And the condition is that Thomas Monson has agreed to answer every question absolutely honestly.
And Mr. Monson, I think, knows how to reach us. We would love this opportunity, wouldn't we, Bill?
We'd like to take it from a fantasy interview to a real-life interview. We don't think that's going to happen, but I think these are questions that are fair. And a Mormon, as we said before, might say, well, they're gotcha questions. Well, you might think that, except that I think the public needs to know some of the answers to these questions, because I don't think the Mormon Church oftentimes is very honest with the public and how they do explain themselves. So we were kind of thinking about what would happen if we were given this invitation to talk to Mr. Monson, being able to ask any question that we want to ask, and he has promised that he is going to answer absolutely truthfully.
Well, we've been talking about plural marriage. Let's go back. We finished our show yesterday talking about financial issues, but I want to ask a couple more questions on plural marriage. Do you think, Mr. Monson, that Joseph Smith did the right thing by marrying married women?
Now, a lot of Mormons are listening to this. They're going, oh, come on. That's a horrible thing to say about the prophet. But the fact is, folks, is that Joseph Smith did marry several women who had living husbands. When I do bring that up to most Latter-day Saints, they find it horrible, first of all, that I would even think of it, because they would never even comprehend somebody doing that, much less their prophet. But yet, it is a fact. You have, for instance, Todd Compton.
In Sacred Loneliness.
His book, In Sacred Loneliness. You also have Richard L. Bushman and Joseph Smith, Rough Stone mm-hmm. Rolling. Both of them admit that Joseph Smith had several plural wives. The number is usually around 33, 34. It depends on which historian you're really talking to. But Compton believes that at least 11 of those plural wives had living husbands. Bushman says he thinks it was around 10.
That's still a third.
Absolutely. That's still way too many. Okay. Because polyandry, and that's what that practice is known as, is something that not even Mormon scripture justifies. There is a loophole in the Book of Mormon for polygamy, and it's found in Jacob chapter 2, but the only loophole is really to raise up seed. If God chooses to raise up seed, he could direct otherwise. But yet, we find Joseph Smith marrying married women.
Hmm.
Why is he doing this? There's nowhere in the Book of Mormon that would justify that behavior. There's nowhere in the Doctrine and Covenants that would justify that behavior, but yet that's what Smith does. So the question we're asking Mr. Monson is, well, what do you think about that? Did he do the right thing marrying married women?
And a follow-up question, do you think it was right for Smith to lie to Emma about his polygamous wives?
You know, that's another thing I don't think a lot of Latter-day Saints really understand. Emma Smith never liked the idea of sharing her husband with other women. She never liked the doctrine mm-hmm. of polygamy. She hated it. And yet, Joseph Smith, we find, would not tell her the truth about all the many women that he was ceremoniously married to. He would lie to his own wife. You've heard me say many times that a man that will lie to his wife will lie to anybody. Think about that Latter-day Saint. If he'll lie to Emma about this, why wouldn't he lie to those that were asking him questions about other things?
Two historians wrote the book Mormon Enigma on Emma Smith. I just finished reading the book, and maybe we can talk about that in a few weeks, more about that book and some of the things that what you're talking about here very clearly is documented in this Mormon Enigma.
It's a great book to read, and I've mentioned before that it's one of the few books on Mormon history that just really outright just ticked me off. When I saw in what they were writing how Joseph Smith was such a scoundrel. He really was. I mean, how he treated his wife and put her in these weird, uncomfortable situations. I mean, how could this man be admired as a true prophet of God for this kind of behavior? And you might say, well, yeah, but a prophet's not perfect. Yeah, but you would think that they would at least repent. And we don't find Joseph Smith repenting of this behavior. He doesn't repent for it. And that's problematic because in Mormonism, repentance is a pretty big issue. And yet we don't find Joseph Smith repenting for these actions.
How about this question for Mr. Monson? Is the Joseph Smith translation, also known as the inspired version of the Bible, inspired by God, or is it just commentary?
Now, the reason we ask that question is because not long ago, there was a debate in Salt Lake City, and the Mormon who was debating actually said that the Joseph Smith translation was a commentary. I don't know where he actually got this, but the fact is that's not how it was understood to be in the early years. And now you might say, but the Mormon Church doesn't use the Joseph Smith translation as a bound volume. They don't carry a bound volume of the inspired version or Joseph Smith translation, but they do have Smith's alterations in footnotes or endnotes. So if you wanted to know what Smith had quote-unquote corrected, those quote-unquote corrections are in their edition of the Bible.
I had one missionary tell me that they don't use that version because they don't own the copyright to it. What would your response be to that?
I would say that response is kind of silly because, you know, in Christian churches, we use all sorts of different versions, and I don't think any one church owns the copyright to any of those versions. So why would that prevent us from using a particular version of the Bible? I don't see that as being a really good argument. Now, Kent Jackson uses that argument. He's a BYU professor. Another argument that Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the church, used was, well, the reason they don't use it is because it was never finished. The problem with that is that Joseph Smith himself said he did finish it.
History of the Church, Volume 1, page 368, very clearly says in 1833 it was finished.
Yeah, we this day finish the Scriptures. So Joseph Fielding Smith can believe what he wants, but Joseph Smith said otherwise. But even if it wasn't finished, let's just say hypothetically that he didn't finish it. Why wouldn't the Mormons want these inspired corrections in front of the membership? Remember, they're always complaining that the Bible has not been translated correctly, which, of course, we've explained that that really means they don't believe it was transmitted correctly. But still, if they don't believe that the Bible we have is trustworthy, then why at least use what Joseph Smith did and go by that?
I'm going to recommend, if anybody wants to read more about this in our book, Answering Mormons Questions, that came out last year with Kriegel, we have a section in one of the chapters called The Joseph Smith Translation of the Bible. That's found on pages 196 all the way to the end of the chapter on page 200. So there's five good pages if you'd like to learn more of what we're talking about here and go into more detail.
Another question we would like to ask Mr. Monson has to do with how the Book of Mormon was translated. So the question we would ask is, Mr. Monson, why don't you put the seer stone on display at the Church History Museum? Now, surprisingly, they do have on display the gun that Joseph Smith used when he was arrested and incarcerated at Carthage Jail.
Which is kind of surprising to me that they've left it up as long as they have, because every time we go down there, we're halfway expecting it's going to be gone.
Many people probably don't even realize, well, what's this all about? Well, according to the history of the church, John Taylor, in his testimony, he talks about how Joseph Smith had a smuggled pistol and that when the mob came to kill him, well, that's what they assume, that he came to kill him. That's controversial in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But when the mob attacked the jail, that Joseph Smith used this pistol and he shot three of the attackers. And according to Taylor, two of them died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some Mormons have raised a controversy over all that, but this is a story that John Taylor told, and as far as I know, he stuck with that story till the day he died, and that story has been repeated in other books as well. But getting back to the translation with the seer stone, Smith, as it was said, would put this rock that he found while digging a well with his brother Hiram into a hat, and that he would put his face in the hat, and on this rock, or through this rock, in this rock, English translation would come for the Book of Mormon, the gold plates that he had. Now notice he wasn't looking at the plates, he was looking at the rock. Now, Mormon historians have admitted that he used this seer stone to translate the Book of Mormon. I think Neil Maxwell, who was a Mormon apostle, died not too terribly long ago. He also gave a talk on this once. But it's not something that you hear all the time.
Well, it seems like a lot of the pictures, including the front page of the Ensign, he's staring intently into the gold plates rather than looking into a hat. That's not, I mean, there are pictures out there, but not very common for the Mormon Church to publish those.
I'm not aware, really, of any picture that's put out by the Mormon Church.
Even though it's admitted, like you said, I mean, in the Helen Whitney series, Daniel Peterson even agreed to that, and he was labeled an anti-Mormon by some of the people because they weren't giving the names of the people who were saying this and explaining that this was a BYU professor, right, admitting that Smith used a seer stone.
And the fact is David Whitmer and Martin Harris, even his own wife, Emma Smith, they all talk about Joseph Smith using the seer stone and putting it in a hat, and that Joseph Smith would translate the gold plates by doing that. But remember, again, he's not looking at the plates. His brother William said that at times the plates were lying nearby covered up. So why did he have to go get the plates in the first place?
If they do put that seer stone on display, would you want them to have an explanation of what that was used for? Or I don't know if that would happen.
They would have to. I would think they would have to give an explanation as to what is this rock and why is it on display.
So maybe that's the answer to the question he's going to give. No, I'm not going to, because I don't think it's going to be faith-promoting.
But why not? If Neil Maxwell's already talked about it, if it's found in the Comprehensive History of the Church and in books like that, why not just be totally honest?
Amen to that.
You know, why can't they just put them on display and allow people to ask their questions and then, you know, answer the questions accordingly? Just be totally honest with the people. We're going to continue our fantasy interview tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Looking for a book on Mormonism? When you're in the Salt Lake City area, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is the place to go. Here, you'll find the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including Answering Mormons' Questions, written by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. In addition, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple in Salt Lake City.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry and host of Viewpoint on Mormonism, heard daily on AM 820. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the May 17th Spring Vision Banquet for AM 820 and Utah Partnerships for Christ. Just go to www.upfc.org to order your tickets or call Russ East at 801-645-7433. That's 801-645-7433.